Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr, Steve Jones joining us shortly in the Sunbury Motors Studio. I got a lot of questions for Steve today. Some will involve football, some involve baseball, and of course, if you have a question, you're just a phone call away from asking it at 800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565.
Today's poll, what is your favorite month of the year? No, I'm just kidding.
No. Are you
today,
ready?
Josh Moyer, ESPN.com, is going to join us today. Tomorrow, Jerry DiNardo of BTN.
Nice.
As we kick it into gear for the college football season. So Josh Moyer, ESPN.com, he'll be joining us in the next half hour. And we'll follow it up with Jerry DiNardo of BTN tomorrow on the show to give you a football primer heading into the weekend.
Now, are you ready for my first question?
Sure.
All right. I just want to make sure you were prepared for it. My first question is talking a little baseball. There are rumors that the Phillies are considering cutting Ryan Howard at the end of the season over the winter because nobody's going to want to trade for him. I have a question. He's owed, what, $60 million on his contract? If the Phillies cut him, of course they still have to pay that money because it's under the contract. But the question is, does that count against the salary cap in those years? Or the, not the salary cap, but the penalties and all that, right, in baseball.
The luxury tax.
Thank you. Yeah. Does that still count in the luxury tax formula?
It's a really good question. I have no idea.
I don't know. I would think the only way the Phillies would do this is if it doesn't count in the luxury tax formula. Because what benefit do they have?
None.
And let's face it, I mean, Ryan Howard is going to have 100 RBIs this year. He's probably going to hit 25 home runs. He's not hitting really well. He's hitting .224, but he's hitting much better against I think against lefties.
Mm-hmm.
So why not at least platoon him for now? I mean,
what?
Instead of just eating $60 million.
That's a great question. All right. I mean, I would, you know, look, I'd ride it out with him all the way to the end because you know what?
What do you have to lose?
They have nothing to lose. I mean, you've already committed the money. You're going to have to pay it anyway, so you might as well figure that, hey, let's see if we can get something out of it.
And they don't have anybody coming up at first base that's outstanding, that's going to be
Darren Ruff. I knew you were going to say that. Fabulous. Oh, yeah.
But Darren Ruff at least is a platooning option to at least get the best out of both hitters. Oh, listen, it's Ruben Amaro. He's got the answer to our question.
Ruben, yo, dog, hold on.
Thanks for listening, yeah. Ruben.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other thing. How much of this is the Phillies just saying stuff to say stuff now and maybe, I don't know, light a fire under Ryan Howard or something? I mean, does anybody really think that the Phillies are going, I think we're going to let him go and pay him $60 million and go play for somebody else? I just don't see that as being realistic.
Yeah. I don't see... well, look, if the Dodgers don't want him, then nobody does. Because, I mean, they're not afraid to pay anybody.
Right, exactly, exactly. But, you know, again, he's owed $60 million. So if the Phillies try and trade him, nobody even in the American League is going to want a DH having to spend that much on his contract. So there's really no feasible trade option. I don't see them just cutting ties with Ryan Howard in the winter and going, hey, sorry it didn't work out. Here's $60 million. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. I mean, now obviously I know you. I mean, you and your ilk are ready to bag him anyway, so I don't understand why he's so concerned about him being cut.
I like the idea of platooning him right now. I mean, if he's not performing at the level you need him to perform, at least put him in situations where he's been successful.
Because I look at Darren Ruff and I see an absolute super. No, I don't.
No, okay, I don't either. I don't either.
Oh, you yesterday, you made it seem like it was the second coming, that everything was turning around. Finally had the answer.
I said,
that's
the Phillies
what you said.
Have
that's
been
what
looking.
You said.
The Phillies have been looking for a reason to bring him or a way to bring him up. I didn't say he was going to be Ryan Howard.
Well,
again.
There's an easy way to do it. Dump somebody and bring him up.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like, okay, well, who are we going to dump? Who are we going to, you know, instead of trade? Ryan Howard's there. What are we going to do there?
Your team is not good. Does it matter who you dump?
I guess not.
No. Ray Rice got suspended for 2 games. This I find to be baffling and confusing. I understand there are rules in place when it comes to, for example, Josh Gordon. Thus, he's looking at a full season because he is alleged to be a multiple offender of the substance abuse policy in the league. But if the standard is on substance abuse 4 games, to me, Ray Rice should have received 8 games for this. Should have received a half a season. It's on videotape. I know he has married her now. But it was caught on tape. It's ugly. And I think the last thing a league wants to do is look like they are light on the issue of women being abused. That's just my opinion.
The NFL does lack a little consistency in punishments.
Well, but again, do you want to look like you're light on an issue like this?
No, you're exactly right.
You've now dedicated an entire month to breast cancer awareness. The month of October. Pink shoes, pink gloves, pink wristbands, whatever. And it's a big deal in the league. This 8-game suspension would have taken him through October that I'm talking about. And I don't think you want to look like you're light on this issue. Now, Ray Rice, even at 8 games, would have been thanking his lucky stars. And so are the Ravens. Because let's face it, how many months ago was he looking at the possibility of jail time? I mean, he has his life back. And even at 8 games, he would not have lost his profession.
But, Steve, here's where it lacks consistency, though.
They gave him 2 games.
Right, but here's where...
I don't care about consistency. I'm telling you what I'd do.
Well, I understand, but you're let me compare it with what happened here, getting a 2-game suspension, compared to a pair of marijuana arrests, or using a banned diuretic.
That's my point.
Now, let's compare something a little closer. What about Ben Roethlisberger? Now, being a Steeler aside... To be frank with you,
I'm sick of the petty Roethlisberger stuff. I'm talking in the context of abuse of women here.
I'm just saying when you compare the suspensions, though, Roethlisberger was 4 games, Ray Rice is 2. Is that right? That's where I'm not sure.
It's irrelevant, okay? I'm not here to sit there and compare suspensions. I don't care what Ben Roethlisberger got. I'm looking at this guy and saying he should get a half a season instead of two games.
And I'm right with, I totally agree with you.
I mean, I don't care what Ben Roethlisberger got. That's irrelevant to me. I know as a Steeler fan, you guys are still wound up in a little ball about it.
No.
The heck with it.
You know,
that's where,
Ben got what he deserved.
No dog in the hunt here, okay? But I see something on videotape where he's lucky he's not in prison. Hey, he's lucky he's not in prison. So not only is he not in prison, but now they're going to let him play 14 out of 16 games? No, he should get a half a season and should not be allowed to play in the month of October when it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Shouldn't be allowed. I'm sorry, but this one's wrong. They went too light. If Sean Payton gets your petty Roethlisberger thing because it's so personal to you. Let's take it objectively. Sean Payton got a year for Bountygate? A year. One year.
But I agree. I don't think, I'm saying the punishments don't make any sense. They're random.
Okay. Sean Payton got, Bountygate, 1 year. Mickey Loomis got 8 games. Okay? He had a whole year. Okay? And they put a bounty out there. Okay, fine, except you do have to somehow bust your butt there to get to him to do it as part of the game. Now, deliberately hurting somebody? Okay. And Vilma got suspended for how many games? This guy is caught on tape. On tape. There. You can see it. You watch it. You're horrified. And they call it domestic violence, but it was in wide open, for goodness sakes. It was at an Atlantic City hotel. Domestic violence wasn't even in the home. It was in a public place. They blew it on this one. I knew you'd bring up Roethlisberger because that's what your ilk does. It's always Ravens Steelers. Okay,
you're wrong.
Hey,
Sean.
Oh, I'm right.
No.
But you know how many Steelers? No. You are not the first Steeler fan to come up to me today and go, Roethlisberger
I'm sure.
got four. Right. And you look at him and go, I don't care.
But I thought four was fine. Okay? I didn't have a problem with four.
I'm talking about domestic violence.
I agree.
Here.
I'm just saying, if Ben Roethlisberger got four, why isn't Rice getting eight?
Which is a completely different thing. He should get 8 games. He should be suspended for half the season.
Totally agree with you.
Okay, stop whining in your Roethlisberger milk.
I'm saying, if Ben got four, why is Rice not getting eight? Because what Rice did, in my opinion, is worse.
Sean Payton got 12 months. 12 months. Okay, whole year.
We're saying the same things here.
I wasn't going to bring up the Roethlisberger thing. I brought up Josh Gordon and the drug policy. Okay, that's what I brought up. He's going to get a whole year on marijuana, on the drug policy. Now, I realize that is union negotiated. Right? I brought that up. So here it is.
No, okay? But we're saying the same thing, that the punishment isn't enough.
Right, it's not enough. But I'm not going to bring up other suspensions of other people. I mean, it's just when it comes to Ben Roethlisberger, because again, it's a Steeler Ravens thing with you guys, and that's what makes
you say. I know you don't believe it, and that's okay.
I don't even remotely believe you. Okay, because every Steeler fan I've got, Roethlisberger got four. I keep looking at him, going, the two are not related. I'm looking at a woman on tape. Okay, in a domestic violence incident in a public place. I don't care what Ben Roethlisberger got. I think that what they did with this guy was wrong. Okay, in a singular case. Okay, I know he's your guy. I got it. He's your
guy.
That's
why I brought it up.
It's what all you Steeler fans are doing.
Oh, here we go. Lumping us all in the boat.
Excuse me, if he was suspended for 2 games and played for the Raiders, you wouldn't even have brought the topic up.
No, I would have.
Ben got four. I can't believe they didn't give X player from the Raiders more than that. But he's Ray Rice. He plays in the division. He plays for the Ravens. Thus the comparison. I got it. I got it. Believe me, I more than get it. I got it. And what bothers you is that I got it right away.
Wasn't even intended that way.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so the bottom line is, if this was a running back for the Rams, you wouldn't have even brought it up.
Yes, I would have.
It's the Ravens, it's Ray Rice, and we had to compare it right away to your quarterback.
No, I compared it to a couple of other things before I compared it to Roethlisberger's suspensions. And you notice, what did I say right afterwards? I said, I was fine with four games.
Well, Rice should have had eight.
Yes.
Should have had half the season.
He was actually charged.
Yes, and not only that, Ray Rice would have no complaint. Would have no foundation for a complaint with eight games for this reason. Number one, he's lucky not to be in jail. Number two, his profession is not being taken away from him, and he would still have an opportunity to play. But, again, you have to send a message to Ray Rice and to every pro football player that domestic violence against women is not going to be tolerated. And not only that, okay, this happened in a wide-open public area at a casino in Atlantic City with cameras on it. Other than that, things have gone smoothly. And Roger Goodell flat out blew this one. Flat out blew it. And I'm not comparing it to any other suspension out there. I just looked at it and go, he should get a half a season. I mean, if you start comparing suspensions, for goodness sakes, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is the first one that comes to mind. I mean, I watched Sean Payton take out an entire year. Now, they can do that to him because he's management. He doesn't fall under a union contract at all. I mean, Sean Payton, they could suspend him for 5 years if they wanted to because he's management. He's not with the union. And they took him out for a year for Bountygate.
Is it just me, though, or does this look like a Roger Goodell who started when he became commissioner really hardlining things and trying to take a strong arm against everything and now may not be as rough and tough as he was when he first started?
Well, what I would want to know is there a guideline under the union agreement that forced him to do this? Then after that question's answered, then I would take off on commentary against him.
That's it. No, that's a fair point. Because if you take it without knowing that and assuming there isn't, it does look like the guy that was strong, that was really a strong leader and wanted to take a hard line with everybody has really softened up.
I don't know. Now, for all we know, but again, I don't know if this was mandated or not. It is disappointing. I will not be with my teammates for the first two games of the season, but that's my fault. At least, I mean, he's married to the woman now. But if there's not a mandated time on this and he could have done whatever he wanted against this, okay? And good news for you, he'll miss the Steelers game. But if there's no mandate on this, then Roger Goodell has it all wrong and should be justly criticized. I mean, it's been a really big offseason for the Ravens. They've had five guys arrested.
Did they draft a guy who was in prison once?
Oh, I'd have to look that up. He's in prison, isn't he, Monty?
Cross him off, then.
I mean, this guy's dead. Then cross him off the list. These are the players we're inviting to spring training. All right, Josh Moyer joins us from ESPN.com. Josh, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks a lot for having me on today.
It's great to have you on. Let's start with... I talked earlier and I said, when Jim Delaney sits down at his press conference, that's going to be, as far as I'm concerned, a must listen. Now, he may say nothing, but I think it's at least going in a must listen. If I gave you two or three questions that you would like to ask Jim Delaney, and you know you're going to get a thoughtful answer at least, what would those two or three questions be?
See, that's a great question. I wish I had more than like 30 seconds to think about what I would ask. But, I mean, just off the top of my head, I would like him to explain, you know, paying players would mean the end of the Big Ten. I mean, you know, that's something he said. That's something he believes. You know, I want to know more than that. I want him to go in depth. You know, how is that going to be the end? I'd like to know his future, his vision, you know, where he thinks the NCAA is going to be in 10 years or maybe where it should be. In 10 years, and if he would answer honestly, he wouldn't, so I wouldn't answer this question, but if I could get an honest answer, I'd absolutely love to know what his true thoughts were on Mark Emmert, because talking to some coaches, you know, around the NCAA who obviously don't want to be named, they don't think very highly of him, and I'd be curious about Delaney's takes. So off the top of my head, you know, that's certainly what comes to mind right away, and I think, you know, obviously paying players is kind of in the forefront of everyone's minds right now. With the trial that just went on.
Yeah, with the O'Bannon trial, if I were a coach, now we're going to warp into a question that also incorporates part of my personal opinion, so I'll preface it by saying that. But Mark Emmert went with the ivory tower of amateurism, and Title IX's an unfunded federal mandate. You got to pay for it. This is how you do it. But he went with the amateurism part. Isn't it reality, Josh, that the only amateurs are walk-ons?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of a whole philosophy in and of itself, but it's difficult to disagree with that. I mean, when you walk down downtown at Penn State, when you see a bunch of people wearing number 14 jerseys, I mean, okay, sure, Hackenberg's name isn't on the back, but I mean, let's be honest with everything.
Sure.
Now, that's the reason why everyone buys the jersey. And, you know, you had a little controversy last year when, you know, Penn State's gift shop was selling Allen Robinson jerseys. Or the NCAA was, and of course, you know, they rectified that within a day or two when I think Dan Wetzel pointed it out. I mean, if they are amateurs, I mean, they're certainly not 100%, you know, they're getting something out of it. And I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm still kind of torn on the issue as a whole because I feel like the players do deserve a little bit of a stipend, but... You know, I don't think anyone's saying either that they should, you know, they deserve a $20,000 salary on top of everything else either. But at the same time, you shouldn't have any athlete who comes out and says that they go to bed hungry either.
Yeah, Shabazz Napier, of course, made that statement at the NCAA's. But, Josh, when you've talked to athletes, how often have they complained to you, whether it's football or men's basketball, let's keep it within that realm, football, men's basketball, have they ever complained to you about their plight?
Honestly, not unless, you know, you ask about them. I ask about that in particular. I don't think anyone's just going to share off the bat, you know, hey, Josh, you know, just wanted to call you up to let you know that this really sucks. I mean, that doesn't happen, you know, too often. I mean, you had a... Deion Barnes went on Twitter last year, and I still remember because, you know, it started a debate a little bit around Penn State because he came out and, you know, he was just talking about, I think, you know, how it would be nice to afford a new pair of shoes, you know, that he couldn't do it. You know, I wish I could remember the gentleman's name, but there was a football player who was homeless recently who couldn't accept aid from his university because it would ruin his eligibility. you know, and there's a case that, I mean, it's pretty black and white. A kid's homeless, you help them out.
Yeah.
But the NCAA, you know, kind of ties your hands behind your back, because if you give the kid any aid, well, there goes the eligibility. So, I mean, you know, that became a national thing. The NCAA eventually relented. But, you know, just like in the real world, in college, you know, there's the haves and there's the have-nots. You know, some kids are getting free education, you know, and they're very well off. You know, I think Anthony Scarrato's family, you know, he was able to get that scholarship. He didn't need it. You know, some guys are well off, some aren't. You know, the guys who aren't, you know, it's so hard for them to kind of make ends meet. I remember talking to a player from the 90s who went to Kansas State. He told me he used to, you know, before the internet, he used to donate plasma three times more than he was supposed to. He'd give them fake names. He'd go, you know, he'd play with, you know, a lot less blood than he was supposed to, but, you know, he needed to make $75 so he could eat. So, something has to happen there. The players aren't going to the media outraged, but if you ask anyone about it, you know, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a player who's going to say no to a little extra money in addition to, right, you know, tuition and room and such.
And there's another part of it too. There are some players, and I know specifically some of them, who take their grant money and they send it home because the family needs the money. I mean, and to them, that's their way of giving back to their family. So that's where they end up getting stuck sometimes.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I mean, I don't know anyone on the current Penn State team, but just the fact that's happening anywhere. I mean, I think everyone should be in agreement. That should not be happening anywhere, you know, and that needs to be rectified. I mean, if you're helping a school reel in, you know, more than $200 million in revenue every year, I mean, you know, maybe a few hundred dollars here and there. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I know my personal advocacy has been about $2,000 for an academic year over 10 months, $200 a month. It's $50
a
week.
Yeah, I like that. You know, or, you know, I've heard some people say $3,000 or $5,000. I mean, you know, I guess where for me, you know, the issue becomes kind of complex is, you know, I am worried if you do that for football, you know, what about the other sports?
Actually, when I say it, Josh, it's across the board. I would take but I would also tie it to what percentage your scholarship is. In other words, if Josh Moyer is a great men's lacrosse player, but you know, you can't give out full. You know, you can give out full scholarships in men's lacrosse, but you'll be out of players. So you have to take what your allotment and divide them up. So if you're on a half scholarship, I'd give you $1,000 for a year.
Yeah, I do think, and Delaney did touch on this before, but, you know, it does kind of separate the Power Five from the rest of the conferences, too, because, say, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, they can afford that, you know, doing the extra, you know, $5,000, you know, but, or $2,000 for a scholarship, but, you know, UConn, Temple, you know, schools like that, you know, they're going to have a lot more trouble. And Penn State, I believe it was 2 years ago as a whole, you know, and certainly the Sandusky scandal didn't help matters, but, you know, they operated at about an $8 million loss. And I'm sure that's going to go back up. But the point is, you know, it's not like Penn State is raking in, you know, an incredible amount of money, you know, like they were a few years ago. I mean, it's still great, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, the fact is the money has to come from somewhere. And, you know, there's never this great surplus where, you know, you can keep building facilities and everything. There's an end to everything. And I don't know, Steve. I just feel like, you know, it's going to be more costly than people realize. And I do wonder, that money's got to come from somewhere. Does that mean, you know, building improvements? Does it mean maybe, you know, medically it's not as good as it was before? Does it mean student fees go up? You know, I just kind of wonder how that's going to be covered.
Right, and of course the food thing, which you had brought up, and you and I are in complete agreement. Of course, they should, you know, they should have 24/7 food. It's part of their training, and I know you feel the same way. That's still going to cost a school about $1 million. Any school, $1 million a year to implement that. I mean, food's not cheap. Let's get to the football team. What excites you about this football team heading in, and what doesn't excite you?
What excites me? Well, I mean, a few things. I mean, obviously, there's a new coach. I mean, I remember the excitement, you know, you spent, you know, half a century watching Joe Paterno's offenses, which, you know, granted got a little vanilla, you know, in the later years. And, And then Bill O'Brien, you know, he thinks he's running average stuff, and we all think it's incredible. We've never seen it at Penn State before. So I'm interested to see, you know, what the offense is like for James Franklin. You know, he likes the Wildcat. Bill O'Brien hated it. You know, what excites me more than anything is Christian Hackenberg. I mean, if you have to name one player on the team, I think that's the player everyone's going to pick. Sports Illustrated already ran a story a few months ago. Will Christian Hackenberg be the number one pick in 2016? I mean, obviously the kid's got a lot of talent. And what I'm interested in is John Donovan. I feel like Penn State's offensive coordinator has the toughest job in the Big Ten because, you know, on one hand, if you succeed, you know, it's like, well, you have Christian Hackenberg. You know, you should succeed. You have no excuse for not succeeding. But on the other hand, if you don't, if the offensive line doesn't come together, you know, which, you know, is obviously a domino effect in the wrong way for Penn State, well, then, you know, part of the blame goes on Donovan for not being able to find the right game plan, you know, to find success with a talent like Hackenberg and Zwinnick and Belton. And I'd have to say what I'm least excited about, really, is, I mean, I don't know. That's a good question, too. I guess, you know, the defensive line, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people talk about them, but the defensive tackles in particular, you know, I guess if I had to pick one thing, you know, right now, you know, they lack depth. You know, it's not a big story like the offensive line, but, you know, I just feel like it's not as exciting as it's been in past years when you've had, you know, future first-round NFL draft picks or second-round picks. You know, this year you have two guys who are still kind of trying to find their own way a little bit.
We're with Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. And yeah, on ESPN.com, Josh wrote a really nice piece because it was done about a month ago. But he was the question was of writers within that cover the Big Ten, name a key stretch for each team. Josh, you identified the stretch where Penn State opens the Big Ten: Northwestern, bye week, at Michigan, bye week, Ohio State, Maryland. Talk about that stretch and why you identified it as Penn State's key stretch.
Well, because I think going into that stretch, Penn State should easily be 3-1. You know, Central Florida, Akron, Rutgers, UMass. If you don't get at least three wins there, I mean, you may as well just end the season right there. They need to get at least three wins there. They might be undefeated. They might go 4-0. But at that point, even if Penn State is 4-0, it's not inexplicable. It wouldn't be, you know, an incredibly odd turn of events to see them go 0-4 in that four-game stretch. I mean, Northwestern is a trap game. That's going to be the toughest game they have up until that point. You know, Northwestern, sure, they didn't have a great record last year, but they have a good quarterback in Trevor Siemian. Enric Marx, you know, he's healthy again. This Northwestern team is better than I think they're being given credit for. So
no
obviously
question.
Northwestern isn't going to be easy. And then you have the other games, Michigan, Ohio State. You know, we don't even have to talk about Ohio State. Anyone who's saying Penn State's going to go 10-2, 11-1, 9-3, they're all counting that Ohio State game as a loss. Michigan is better than last year, and Penn State was barely able to hang on against them. And then you have Maryland, who, I mean, they're definitely going to test Penn State's secondary. I think Penn State's secondary is going to be a lot better, but, you know, we saw how Indiana performed against Penn State last year, and, you know, Maryland's got a good team. I feel like they're going to be a mid-level Big Ten team this year. They should certainly make it to a bowl. So you have, after Penn State goes 4-0, you have four tough games. And I feel like those four games, if Penn State wins them all, I mean, hey, James Franklin for Coach of the Year. But they could easily go 1-3 or 2-2. I think that stretch determines whether or not Penn State has a successful season.
You know, Ohio State, Michigan, there's the pedigree people talk about, but I think you do a great job, Josh, of identifying what Northwestern and what a lot of fans here don't realize. Randy Edsall has a lot of people back, starting with Brown, going to Diggs, what he has back on defense. A lot of people don't realize he has a lot back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a top 40, you know, defense as well. I mean, this is a team. I mean, Rutgers, all right, let's be honest. Rutgers, I feel like they're going to be another Purdue. They're not going to threaten. They don't have a lot going for them. Maryland does. I mean, Maryland has all the pieces in place this year. They have the senior quarterback. You know, they have some speedy running backs. They have dangerous wide receivers. I mean, you know, long and big. I mean, they can start for any Big Ten team. I mean, these aren't guys who are just good in the ACC. These are guys who would have been good anywhere.
Yeah. I know. I mean, Brown, the quarterback, poor man's Braxton Miller.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I mean, you know, he's a dual threat guy, and you know, it's hard to just lock on him because, I mean, obviously he can do a lot of things, and, you know, we saw what Brett Miller did to Penn State last year.
For you now, we've gone through here, it's July. We've now seen SEC Media Day. We've seen Big 12 Media Day. Big 10 Media Day is coming up. Are the juices for Josh Moyer now flowing?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually on vacation this week, you know, so this has kind of been like my last hurrah. I'm already starting to get excited as the kickoff draws near. You know, this is the time where it starts to get busy. I mean, if you're a journalist, if you like football, I mean, this is when you start getting excited. And Big Ten Media Days, at least for us, is kind of when it all begins. You know, I'm certainly looking forward to that. And I don't think I've ever seen a kicker at Big Ten Media Days, or at least not one I can remember. So I'm looking forward to how it plays out with Sam Ficken there.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Josh, enjoy the rest of your vacation. Thanks so much for carving out even a few minutes when you're supposed to be relaxing and having a good time.
I appreciate it, Steve. Hope to talk to you guys again soon. You take care.
Josh Moyer, ESPN.com. We'll come back in a moment, and we're going to compare all the indiscretions of every Raven versus every Steeler next half hour and see if there's balance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.